Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Championship Friday tomorrow on Eagle 107. Selins Grove against Beaver. 1:15 the airtime from Medler Field, Lebrano Park. First pitch at 1:30 with Kevin Herr and Ray Moyer. Thanks to all of our sponsors who have stepped up. Our sales staff did another awesome job. And Kevin and Ray will make it pay off with an awesome job in the air tomorrow. All right, what does a championship sound like? Well, hopefully 24 hours from now, it'll sound like the high school baseball version of this.
The St. Louis Blues have done it. They've done it. The Black Aces are out. The team has swarmed Jordan Binnington. The coaches are hugging and crying. I can't believe it. I cannot believe what I am witnessing right now. St. Louis, a team that was put together in the fall. New faces, new roles. They struggled and bent. And on the verge of breaking, they found their game after Christmas. They came together, they fought together, they won together, and now they are Stanley Cup champions together. This is not a dream. This is real life St. Louis. Let's party.
And they are. They are loving it in St. Louis. It is, in the history of the NHL, it is the longest that any franchise has gone from its beginning to finally winning the Stanley Cup. Now, obviously, it has been since 1967, since the Toronto Maple Leafs have won. We're not talking about the longest drought. We're talking about the longest period of time it's gone from the, quote, beginning of the franchise to actually winning the Cup. 52 years. All the original six able to win their Stanley Cups, whether it's the Rangers, the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs, the Blackhawks, the Bruins, the Detroit Red Wings. They all won theirs before 52 years. St. Louis was in that second six. Now, in that second six, the Flyers won back-to-back cups early on, winning in the 74 and 75 seasons. The Penguins, of course, won their first cup, I want to say in 91, and then won again in 92. The LA Kings took them a long time. But the Kings, what did the Kings win? At least two Stanley Cups, right? Maybe three. But they've done that, obviously, before St. Louis did. The Dallas Stars, hey, they were the Minnesota North Stars. With Brett Hull and those guys, they were able to win in, what, 2001, I think, when they beat the Buffalo Sabres? And then the Oakland Seals, they, I mean, essentially they disbanded. They moved to the California Golden Seals. They moved to Cleveland. Then they merged with the Minnesota North Stars, and it became the Dallas Stars.
And look at the Washington Capitals last year. I mean, they had a 40-plus year drought, and then they won last
year. They did, yeah, but they weren't part of that original six.
Correct.
They came in the same time as the New Jersey Devils, who at the same time was the Kansas City Scouts, then the Colorado Rockies, and then they became the Devils.
Yeah, so. But look at all the teams that have won Stanley Cups this decade that had such a long drought.
Yeah, long drought. And you know what's interesting? Now who's in the longest drought?
Believe it or not,
it's Buffalo and Vancouver.
How about the Toronto Maple Leafs, too?
Well, I'm talking about from the beginning of the franchise.
Okay.
I mean, the Maple Leafs, as I mentioned earlier, there's now a 52-year drought for them total. But from the beginning of the franchise, the Sabres and the Canucks both have made it to Stanley Cup Finals before. But have not won the cup yet. Now they become the ones that carry the mantle of longest since the start of the franchise without winning it. So the St. Louis Blues, how about that? They were in, Sean, they were in last place in early January. They only had 34 points.
I mean, they were in the territory where the Philadelphia Flyers were.
They were in the, they had the worst record in the NHL. When Craig Berube came in, they were tied for the worst record in the NHL. Right? Now, they're Stanley Cup champions.
I think they can take the interim tag.
I would hope so.
Come on.
I would think that, you know, at one point, and NBC did it right. I mean, it's not like, but you it's almost comical. You're like, he's the interim coach? like they're considering, like, going with somebody more permanent here? what an amazing run. And I thought that in five of the seven games, I thought that St. Louis was the better team in five of the seven games. I didn't win all of them. There was one of them they lost. But in game three and game six, the Bruins were better. And you know what's interesting? St. Louis was 6-7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs at home. They were 10-3 on the road. How about that?
You were reeling off a bunch of teams that where the drought continues, and you added Buffalo to that list. I mean, how fulfilling would that be down the road if the Pagulas would be able to hoist the cup?
Oh, it really would be. And you know what? And those fans love hockey. How much? I saw the regional ratings in each of the last 2 years. Guess who's number one? The last 2 years in local television ratings, the Buffalo Sabres. You want to talk about loving their team? They love their team. Whew. So, just something that, you know, and then Vancouver's the same way. And by the way, the ratings in Canada when Vancouver played were pretty impressive when they played the Bruins a few years ago. And the ratings were huge in Canada. So there you go. Yeah. So the Blues have done it, and it's totally improbable. Really incredible. All right. Get you up to date now on the U.S. Open Golf Championship that is going on at Pebble Beach. The conditions today are as benign as Pebble Beach can be. There's no wind out there today. Now, whether it picks up tonight, I don't know. But there's no wind out there today. So here we go. Ricky Fowler shot a 5-under par 66. He is the leader by one over Scott Piercy and Louis Oosthuizen, who are both finished at 467. I guess Oosthuizen isn't quite finished yet. He's playing 17. Sepp Straka, Emiliano Grillo, Rory McIlroy, Gary Woodland, all shot 68, still on the course. Xander Schauffele, remember I talked about him yesterday? Sergio Garcia, both at 3-under par. Martin Keimer, former champion, John Rahm, Mark Leishman, Bryson DeChambeau, Graham McDowell, Hideki Matsuyama, all at 2-under par. The group at 1-under, Jason Duffner, Zach Johnson, Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood. Phil Mickelson, by the way, a 1-over 72 today. He missed an 18-inch putt for par. Yikes. That was one of his bogeys. Let me see what I guess we can pull it, call up the Mickelson card here and take a look. I think he had two birdies all day.
He aces the hole in Jim Nance's backyard last week, and I think he's a foot and a half out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
This is what he did. He birdied 14. See, he started the back nine. He birdied 14, so he's one under. Then he bogeyed 16 even, makes the turn. Now, three's where he messed up. That's the one where he missed the tap-in. And that put him at one over. Then he birdied six. He missed a point-blank birdie putt at seven, and then he bogeyed eight, so he finished at one over. Now, Tiger goes a little bit less than an hour from now, so he is going to be, for those of you who enjoy primetime golf, because it's in California, I mean, it's only 1:16 there. Tiger goes in about 45, 50 minutes. And that is his story today. He's going to be in a pretty good spot. Twins won today, or excuse me, the Twins at the end of seven at Target lead Seattle 10-1. The Braves have won again, Philly fans, have won seven in a row. They beat the Pirates this afternoon 6-5. So now the Braves have won seven in a row. They had a five-run fifth inning today. Ronald Acuna went 2-for-5 again today. And Freddie Freeman drove in a couple of runs today. So did Josh Donaldson. He drove in a run. The backup, Tehran, is now 5-4 on the year, and Jackson had the save. And they beat Joe Musgrove today, and they knocked him around pretty good. Four innings, nine hits, six runs, all earned. Musgrove's now 4-7. Tehran goes to 5-4 on the year. So there you go. There's the story on the Bucks and the Braves. So the Braves are now, what, 40-29 on the year? That sound right?
And the Phillies come calling to the Braves starting tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly.
This will be their first divisional matchup in well over a month.
And the Phillies will go into that a game and a half back. They're 38-30. The Braves have won seven in a row.
And Bryce Harper did not play last night. That was the first day off that Gabe Kapler gave him as a Philly. And for this specific reason, he wanted to give him 2 days off a rest and recharge and get ready for this long stretch of divisional games.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, that's one of the reasons I've talked about reducing the baseball schedule. I mean, look, I realize what I'm saying is unrealistic. Okay? I know it's unrealistic, so let me at least say that out of the gate. I understand that completely. What I'm about to say is absolutely unrealistic, okay? But less can be more. That's why when I'm hearing, for example, the NFL talk about an 18-game schedule, you know, I look at that and think, I don't know. I think they've got it just right. And now I just think that I don't know. I think they've got it right by playing 16 games, not changing it. I think the fans like it that way.
I think the same with the NFL playoff setup too. I mean, there's no reason to add any more teams. Yes, we're bummed out as January rolls along, and it's like, oh no, there's only three or four games total left of the year. We got to savor every second of every game, but that's what makes it exciting, and that's what makes it fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think when you start tinkering with that, like, oh, you know, we're so popular, we can give you more. I'm not so sure about that. So now let's talk about, this is pure ideology, and I've talked about this before. So, in other words, what I'm about to say, I know is not realistic, okay? I'm just trying to be fair about it. I know it's what I'm saying is not realistic financially. And the reason it's not realistic is I know that the money involved you know, the owners have to have the ability to make money. You got to sell tickets. What about your TV inventory? Because your TV inventory is less. You know, are you going to get less of a rights fee? And blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. But idealistically, what would be best for the sport? I think for the NHL, what's best for the NHL is 60 games. I think what's best for the NBA is 60 games. You know, then you get to the playoffs and whatever. You go from there, okay? Now, that's what I think is best, because I think now you can build in rest. Because these players need rest. And I don't know. I don't think there's enough in there. Now let's get to baseball. I think baseball, if they played 132 games, I think that would be best. Now I'm talking about knocking off 30 games. That's 15 home games. Now if we were to pull, you know, the Phillies management, you know, what would it mean for them to lose?
Well, especially this year with attendance up.
Yeah, right. What would it mean to lose 15 home games? But I think we'd get a better product. You talk about Bryce Harper sitting out. Well, Gabe Kapler did the right thing. He can't be out there every single game. You could do that if you could DH him. You know, because the DH isn't in the league, you can't pull him out and just have him hit that particular way. You can't do it.
And it was only a matter of time when Bryce was going to take a game off, because I know at least more than once JT Realmuto has gotten some time off, and it's just picking the spots the right time to do it.
Oh, exactly. You know, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I just think that that's something that's really the rest part of it. This is something I hear coaches talk about all the time. Now, obviously, you're dealing with young people. So in dealing with young people, trying to get them to rest and not stay up late and not talk to their girlfriend or not play video games.
Yeah, some guys, they love their Fortnite.
But you know what I mean. And I'm taking mine from a college perspective. Okay, so it's a little different. But you know, let's face it. I know what the kids are doing. I'm around them. You know, I'm around them enough, especially when they're on the road. So I'll tell you what Penn State basketball does. You know what they do? Okay, when they're on the road. Now, I don't know if they do this at home. That part I'm not sure about. But at home, night before the game, it's mandatory. They have to collect all the phones. It's mandatory. And that's because they want them, look, get rest. So now let's take it back to 132 games. Look, you've got to be able to build in these rest days for them. I mean, it's such a grind. Hey, they're going to go on a 12 game road trip. Okay, well, it may be 12 games in 13 days, but like, you know, okay, you play, you know, you arrive in a city, then you play two games, then you pack up because you're going to be leaving after the third one to go in the next spot. Then you go to the next spot and you play the next day. You know, it's on and on and on and on. Believe me, as somebody who travels a lot and maybe a little bit older than they are, you do get tired. And I'm not doing anything physically taxing, as all the people in the area who see me play golf can attest to.
I'd be curious as to how many other basketball teams in the Big Ten Conference, if they I don't want to say confiscate, but just collect all the phones from all the players the night before a game.
I don't know if this was Pat's idea or if this is what they did at Villanova when he was assistant coach. I don't know. But that's what they do. Now, I mentioned this to James once, and James was like, geez, we, you know, they're on the road. He said, we got 70 guys. It's a little bit different when you have 70 guys on the road as opposed to having 13. But that's the reason they do it is because of the concern of, you know, get rest. I mean, you know how many times I've heard from Joe Paterno to James Franklin, Patrick Chambers, talking about sleep. They're always talking to these guys about sleep all the time. Now, what really bothered me is they said, just play back Steve's show, you'll fall asleep. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event.
Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total dual signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow on Eagle 107, it'll be Selins Grove playing for the state championship. They'll take on Beaver at 1:30, airtime 1:15. We had a little problem, by the way, today, which Sean knows all about. Guess who was invited to go to practice today?
Practice? Talking about practice.
I know.
Our guy.
So he goes over there, and I guess they turned the sprinkler system on. They could seem like it was a rain out, and he left.
I could have sworn that was rain.
Like, okay. I'll tell you, some of these teams are clever. they knew the second that happened, he would bail.
Boys, it's time to activate Operation Suit. Here we go. On two.
You know, it was fun listening to him yesterday talk about how fun his team is, how loose they are.
Yeah.
I thought that part was really, really cool.
I found a replay of Blaze Zeiders in inside the park home run here during postseason play. And just seeing the guys coming out of the dugout and just the, you know, being carefree and just that loose, light feel going through going through the dugout. I mean, when it comes into, you know, pressure point situations, and you hope that the, you know, the Seals will not have to go through a lot of those tomorrow. But let's face it, you're one pitch away from something quirky or kind of weird happening. But yeah, that can pay dividends for them tomorrow, keeping that feeling in tow.
Oh, no question. Oh, I agree with you completely. No question about that. So, hey, look, this will be a lot of fun. 1:30 tomorrow. And, again, the airtime is 1:15. I guess Suit's going to do his own pregame interview with the coach, I guess. But he said he didn't want to do it until after he listened to our interview yesterday, so he could ask the exact same questions.
Yeah, bullet points.
Bullet points. It's going to be verbatim.
Glad we're here to inspire.
Well, no, Brent's going to be sitting there going, geez, why am I wasting my time doing this? I already did this. I got a game to do, man. That'll be tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
The goal is to have him here back on the show on Monday, so we'll shoot for that.
I'll tell you, he was a fun person to talk to. I really enjoyed that very, very much yesterday. Very much.
And he had kind of a loose feel, kind of him, you know, for him too. But as he said, he's got to keep it in perspective and make sure the boys know the task at hand.
And they will.
Yeah.
And they will. I mean, it's once the game starts, it is a game. And that's what you try to people have asked me, you know, what's it like to do a Rose Bowl? What's it like to do an Orange Bowl or a Fiesta Bowl somewhere, or the Big Ten Championship game, you know, or an NCAA tournament? I've been asked that many, many times. And I've told everybody, I said, look, once the game starts, it's a game. You know, it's like, you know, you build up, and you know me, I don't get nervous anyway, so there's no real like, oh, I'm churning here. It's like, all right, let's get started. Yeah, I told you the story about the Rose Bowl walking in, looking at Jack, and go, hey, this is really cool. Who are we playing? He goes, where do you come up with this? So I'm not someone that gets nervous anyway about that. But obviously, you know, there's a sense of anticipation before you do. But once it starts, once the ball's thrown in the air, once the ball's kicked off, or in this case, once the ball is pitched, it's a game. And hopefully the players take it that way. Hey, once you start, it's a game. Play.
That's why I love sports so much. I mean, you got a team that's hoisting the Stanley Cup for the first time ever. You got a team tonight that has a chance to win their first NBA championship ever. And you got Selwyn's Grove tomorrow that wants to put a big, fat, happy red bow on a phenomenal season that those kids will never forget. That's just what makes it great.
Yeah, and for the entire town. See, now this goes back to what I talk about the Friday nights and why I don't want Friday night high school or college football. And I've talked about this many times. You know, when I talk about how special a Friday night is, you know, you have your pro team. So, you know, you root for the Eagles, you root for the Steelers, whatever it may be. It's pro football. You get to college football and, like, the entire state's rooting for, you know, a good portion of the state's rooting for Penn State. And then you bottle it down to your hometown. I realize that over time, we've regionalized school districts. We've had to because of the population and cost effectiveness. I understand all that. All right. But still, it is your hometown. So let's just take Selwyn's Grove, for example. You know, you might go to the Penn State game on Saturday. Maybe you have tickets you want to go to the Link or you go to Heinz Field on Sunday, whatever. But there's something about your hometown team, in this case it's Selwyn's Grove, representing your town, representing your area. You go out there, it's like old home week because there's a lot of people you catch up with at the game. You've got fans there that happen to be parents of members of the band, parents that are members of the color guard, parents who are members of the cheerleading squad, parents who obviously parents of the players. And then there are those who just love going to see football, and they love the fact that when they go out there, and in this case, Selins Grove, they've got that hometown name in front of it. It means something. It means a lot. There's a sense of community with it, a real feel of community and family. Well, now look at this with what's happening in baseball. And we're seeing it in Wingate over here. That's close to State College in Baldy Galeria softball. They play tomorrow, too, for a state title. I guess they're playing against some real juggernaut tomorrow that's evidently been getting U.S. women's soccer team scores against some teams in softball. But all the signs in town, because it's your team. Hey, way to go. Good luck. Hey, bring home the championship. I mean, there's signs all over town, right? You go up and down. If you go up and down, 11 and 15, right? There's signs everywhere for Selins Grove. And it's that hometown feeling where you boil it down from pro to college to your own backyard. And here's one of those your own backyard moments. I think it's phenomenal. I think this is one of the truly great things to happen. If they could somehow win it tomorrow, it's going to live with this area forever. Forever. I just got to go out and play.
Yeah, this year marks the 10th anniversary of Selins Grove football going undefeated and winning their state championship. And that was the first year we started airing the Seals games over on Eagle 107. So,
right, exactly.
And people still talk about that to this very day. And Pat and Ryan will back me up on that.
Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt do a great job, don't they? They really do. They do a great job.
It was funny, a little over a month ago when my nephew started his Little League baseball season, first night was the big news out of Berwick coming out as to who's going to be their next football coach. And we're all texting high school football on the first night of Little League. So they eat, sleep, and breathe it.
Yeah. But look, I mean, it's...
And Zach Showers, too. Can't leave our pal Zach out.
No, Zach does a great job.
He's awesome.
Think Zach was on with us every Thursday, and we just think so highly of him.
We'll make that happen again in the fall. So, hey, Sunbury Motors game night for me. It's incomplete without his. With his content and what he brings to the table too.
No, agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely agreed.
Yep.
Absolutely agreed. No getting around it. So we'll carry the game for you tomorrow. It's the fun and the anticipation of it. We're going to know 24 hours from now what the result is. We'll know 24 hours from now. Kevin and Ray will have all the play-by-play in Eagle 107 starting at 1:15 with the pregame. 1:30 should be the first pitch right around there. Well, great moment for the area. Great moment for the area. Tiger, by the way, getting close to teeing off. Brooks Koepka is about ready to tee off at the U.S. Open. Braves won today, 7 in a row for them. Phillies this weekend. We'll have that for you on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. I just love the hometown feel of it. It's interesting because my hometown when I was growing up had two high schools in it. We had enough population when I was growing up to have two. And Enrico Fermi High School, and Enrico Fermi is the one that split the atom, right, was the Crosstown High School. We were Enfield High School in Enfield, Connecticut. I always loved the fact that we had the town name. You felt like you were representing the town. Nobody knows who we're, In fact, the people in town didn't know who Enrico Fermi was, let alone what town they were in. So, it's like, but the Selins Grove thing, that's really cool. Selins Grove is really cool because, it's a town. You know, people in our area love their high school sports. They love their high school sports. Yeah. From Shikellamy to Seals Grove to Milton to Lewisburg to Mount Carmel to Danville to Mifflinburg. Hey, how about the earthquake last night? How about that one?
Did you feel it? Some portions of Center County did.
No.
I did not either.
I've been around four earthquakes in my life. I've never felt one of them. I was in one in California in San Francisco. We were staying in Berkeley, right? We had like a 4.8 earthquake or some number like that. We're like, okay.
First thing I said to Mark Lawrence this morning, where were you doing in Mifflintown last night?
It was near Mifflintown.
Yeah.
It was 11 miles southwest of Mifflintown in Juniata County. It was a 3.4 earthquake. Didn't feel it. When in 1991, Center Hall had an earthquake, a 3.0, didn't feel it. San Francisco, 4.8, didn't feel it. D.C., 5.8, was, oh my goodness, I'm like, didn't feel it. I'm 0 for 4. I'm glad I didn't feel it, but you know our area, there's a quarry in back of my neighbor in back of my neighborhood, as you know, because I mean, Sean, you've been here enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, every day around noon, they blast. Now that I feel, it's like, whoa, okay, that I feel. Earthquake? No. Now, what it did do in 1991 when Center Hall got hit with a 3.0 earthquake, that's when geologists were telling us, well, a lot of people don't realize there's faults that run under central Pennsylvania. Now, it's not to the magnitude of the San Andreas fault, and I believe the largest fault in the country is actually St. Louis through Memphis. And New York City has a fault line that's rather significant. And obviously, as we found out a few years ago, D.C. does. But yeah, there are fault lines that run through central Pennsylvania. And so Mifflin, it was about 11 miles southwest of Mifflintown last night. They had the earthquake. 3.4. I mean, I just didn't, I don't know how uncomfortable you were when the suit came in and said, oh, last night the earth moved. Look, hey, come on.
Overshare. No thanks.
It's too much info. Oh, there's an earthquake. Oh, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with you. And the U.S. Open Golf Championship continues. The Phillies are off today, but they go down to Atlanta. They lost another half game because the Braves right now just aren't losing. They haven't lost in a week. The Braves have now won 7 in a row. They beat the Pirates today 6-5 at SunTrust Park up in Cobb County. And they will host the Phillies this weekend and have a game and a half lead in the division heading into the weekend.
And next day off for the Phillies won't be until Monday, July 2nd.
Right. Yeah, no, they're going to be on a run here.
That's what.
So it's a 14 straight days they're going to have to play? Something like that. That sound right?
Pretty close.
Yeah. Tonight, the Raptors and the Warriors, 9 o'clock. Warriors, last game they'll ever play in Oakland. They play next year at Chase Arena in San Francisco. They're trying to force a seventh and deciding game tonight. The Raptors are trying to do what the Blues did last night. They're trying to win their first ever championship. So that's at 9 o'clock tonight on ABC. Top of the ninth, Twins lead the Mariners 10-3 in Minneapolis. And Zion Williamson is suing to end an agreement with a marketing firm. He wants to terminate an agreement he signed with a Florida marketing company, maintaining their deal was unlawful under North Carolina law. He signed a marketing deal with Gina Ford and Prime Sports on April 20th, 5 days after he declared for the NBA draft. The agreement included a clause that it could not be terminated for 5 years. Williamson's family told Ford and Prime Sports on May 31st that it was ending the agreement. That's not quite 5 years. The agency responded by saying that if Williamson terminated the deal, they would sue for damages in excess of $100 million. Williamson has since signed with CAA Sports for his contractual and marketing representation. According to the suit, the agreement was unlawful under North Carolina's Uniform Athlete Agents Act because Prime Sports is not certified by the NBA Players Association or a registered athlete agent in North Carolina or Florida. It seems like if that's the case, it's a pretty strong case. I mean, you do have to be registered. Jeffrey Klein, attorney for Williamson, told ESPN in a statement, Prime Sports' marketing actions toward Mr. Williamson blatantly violated the North Carolina statute specifically designed to protect student-athletes. Mr. Williamson properly exercised his rights under the law to void his business dealings with Prime Sports Marketing. Prime Sports Marketing's continued threats against him made it necessary to file the lawsuit. The suit asked the court to declare the agreement void and bar Prime Sports from acting on Williamson's behalf. Well, for a guy that hasn't played a second in the NBA, he makes a lot of news. See, that, we always talk about youth and, you know, about a high school player going and playing pro ball. And look, they can play pro ball. RJ Hampton just signed. He's going to play in the Australia Basketball League, actually in New Zealand. You know, we've had guys play in China, Europe, instead of going to college or the G League. That's started to happen. All right. And believe me, with the XFL does not have any rules on eligibility for the league. Remember, the NFL and the NFL Players Association have it negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement that you have to be out 3 years. The XFL doesn't have that. So now let's flip that back and bring it back to Zion Williamson. You have a lot of young people here that really need to get really good, rock-solid advice. Who's out there to do it? I mean, who's out there to do it? Somebody's got to help them with advice, because now this guy enters into an agreement on April 20th. On May 31st, he's trying to get out of it. I mean, he's only 18, 19 years old. He's 19 years old.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.